end. Here we go.
Yeah, I'll count five.
Have we tweeted it?
No, we have.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the digitally uploaded live podcast following on from the Microsoft show. We've got a big group of people who sat there and watched 2 hours of Microsoft talk about 4K and all that cool stuff, if you want to look cool. We've got Alan. Hello, Alan.
Hello, I'm actually here. This is my Twitch stream, so a bit strange if I wasn't here. Yes, just hello. Here. Hello and welcome to this.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, everyone. I don't own an Xbox.
And we have Trent. We had to have on because we needed somebody to actually defend Microsoft through what we're about to talk
about. Yes, it'll be painful for me, but hello.
Now, I mean, obviously, everybody who has seen the show would have seen, you know, everything that Microsoft was showing off. And I guess a lot of gameplay, which is good because, you know, in times in the past, Microsoft has focused on everything but the games. So it was good that they decided to show off everything that they've got coming. They obviously had a lot to talk about with their new console, which can do 60 frames per second and 4K. I think they mentioned that about 10 through the show.
It's almost like that's their entire stick at this point. It's much. Almost.
They had a lot of games which they claim were exclusive but really aren't. They're just timed exclusives or whatever. The actual number of exclusives that that are coming to that console seem pretty thin. If you're not a big fan of Forza, you're probably in all kinds of crap. But yeah, I mean, what did everyone think of it? I certainly had things to say, but, you know.
I mean, shall I begin with my little bit of talk about what E3 was for Microsoft, which realistically was pretty good. It was just that it was either man with gun shoots gun. Gun with man also shoots gun. There is a suit that shoots gun. Also, we're in Egypt, but there are guns. It's like, it's that. It was just that. Like, it realistically, not all those games were for me. But the fact that they showed that many games and had that sort of variety of gun shooting, very impressive.
Yeah, I've got to say, I mean, Microsoft has certainly been able to pull together just about every different way you could possibly imagine to shoot a gun.
There's the with the trigger, there's with the suit, there's with the bow and arrow, there's with the eagle.
There's on the pirate ship.
There's the pirate ship eagle gun, which is rad. There's a chav British orc gun.
And then you can shoot yourself out of a cannon so you can be the gun.
You are the gun. It's the new. It's the evolution of Microsoft.
And what about all those squids, eh?
Oh, all those squids. So for context about the squids, I accidentally said that a spider was a squid, and I can't live that down ever.
The thing that I found the funniest was after the Ori 2 trailer, which was absolutely beautiful and I was tearing up.
Heartbreaking.
Yeah. The guy gets up, Phil gets up and says, you know, this game is kind of proof of the artistry and whatever of the games that the games can offer. And I was like, well, okay, so why don't you give it to the other 99% of the games that you release? But yeah, I mean, that section in the second half of the show where they showed off, you know, just an endless stream of stuff that they've got coming to the Xbox One was really cool. I actually quite enjoyed that. Not probably enough to get me to buy an Xbox One, given that a lot of that stuff will come out on PS4 as well. But yeah, you know, it's good to know that there is more than just gun stuff, like Ashen, which...
So I just want to talk about Ashen really quickly as well. I've realized what that reminds me of. It reminds me of, like, the graphics card box art robots. I don't know if you guys know what this looks like. You know, when you buy a new graphics card, right, for your PC, or if you're looking at PC components, it always has, like, generic robot characters.
Yeah.
It is eerily similar. Yeah. I'm sorry I had to interrupt with that, but oh dear god, I just... Wow. Oh no.
I don't know. I mean, I was really... I like the art. The art direction that developer's taking with it. It's actually a New Zealand developer, I believe, that's making that. Ooh, one, which is really cool. Always good to have more or less local developers
Yeah.
You know, doing good stuff. And yeah, that one's very distinct. It's unique. It's intriguing what the kind of the setup of the game is. You know, it was kind of my pick, I guess, for the show. If you decide the fact that Ori is a game I probably can't play, it hurt me in the soul.
As it should, to be honest, because if it doesn't, you're probably dead inside.
But yeah, that game is the one that I'm certainly looking forward to a great deal. There was there's some interesting stuff. There was the Dragon Ball fighting game, which is finally a Dragon Ball fighting game I actually want to play because it's it looks like Guilty Gear.
Just Guilty Gear.
It's pretty close to animation as well, so that's a plus.
Yeah, that's exactly what they do.
The art system works has is like so good for making that kind of game. So.
I mean, it's a perfect fit. It is an absolutely perfect fit. And to be quite honest, I will probably play it at some point and think, wow, I might buy an Xbox One when they're cheap.
But that's not exclusive to Xbox, is it?
I think on release it might be, but I'm not sure. I think also an important thing to talk about as well with that is the price point of the 1S, 1X, whatever the hell it's called, the Xbox XX extra large X-sized.
Super
small. Yeah.
My God.
Yeah, so it's $499 US, which is actually realistically not too bad for that sort of power. But I don't know who it's for. I don't know who this console is for.
It comes in at $649 in Australian, which is okay-ish, I guess.
It's all right.
The thing is, if you're going to spend $650 or whatever, wouldn't it be better to go a little bit further and just build yourself a PC? If you really want that kind of power, if not, you can be quite happy with just the regular Xbox, 4K and 60 frames per second. You can repeat it so many times on stage, and you might get one or two people interested. But I honestly don't think the majority of people really care, especially console people. Yeah, they just want to play the game, and they just want the game to look good, which you can do with the existing consoles as long as the art direction's sound. So I don't get where this is being pitched. It's certainly, I mean, I was. The only thing that could possibly convince me to get one of these consoles is if there's a lot of content, I don't want to say content, if there's a lot of really good games that are exclusive to it, and obviously none of them are, even the games that are not in 4K, exclusively on 4K on the Xbox, you can get on other platforms. I don't see the point in buying Scorpio.
I think if you've never had an Xbox, now's a pretty good time to get one. I don't know if you want to get the Scorpio, like the X or the S or like the regular, but having one now, like seeing the focus they have on games, it makes you really buy into the vision. Because before it just used to be like, you can play Gears of War and you can play Forza and you can play like one other game and otherwise you got no reason to have this console. And now they're really trying to start to fix that.
Yeah. They've done their best, I feel, to try and revitalize the Xbox brand, I feel. As far as games-wise, there's enough of a, there is variation, which is good. I mean, Life is Strange, the prequel is coming out, which is beneficial, I guess. It could do well. It honestly could do well. I don't think it will do as well as they're hoping just because of the way that the PS4 is just dominating the market at the moment and the way that the Switch itself is just taking the other sort of half of the, I guess, console market as well. Like, that's done well.
That's kind of the thing. I mean, Microsoft said that there's 22 exclusives coming to Xbox One this year. I believe it was this year. But aren't really exclusives in a lot of cases. A lot of them are just timed exclusives. So, it'll come out on Xbox One first and then 6 months or a year up on PlayStation. They're also available on PC. They all are going to be available.
Well, most of them play on Xbox, play on PC games as well. So you don't necessarily have to get an Xbox. You can just play them on your PC.
Yeah, exactly. So in terms of the actual exclusives, the Xbox One doesn't seem to have that much. And especially, tomorrow we're going to see the Sony. We just know that there's going to be a lot of actual exclusives on the Sony PS4. And then, at the end of the show, at the end of E3, Nintendo has its Direct and people buy the Switch for Nintendo's exclusive game. Microsoft doesn't have that intact. You know, it doesn't have that kind of weapon. The exclusives it doesn't have, and yeah, it makes it hard to justify buying one. And I think the problem with the show is, you know, as great as it is that Microsoft has got this content, this range of games, and it isn't just about the Dude Bro Shooter as much as we laugh about it. Is it going to be enough? That's the thing. Is Metro a timed exclusive? As timed exclusive, is it going to be enough to make you want to buy a year down the track? So, yeah.
It's
a challenge. And Nintendo, Xbox, Microsoft's challenge.
Yeah. I also want to point out that Metro, whatever the heck it's called, Exodus, I believe.
Yeah, Exodus.
Looks Exodus. Wonderful.
It looks great.
It looks like Metro, and Metro is a unique shooter in that it's depressingly bleak and horrible and awful and like the saddest thing in the world, and I like that. So if it's good.
I mean, most shooters are like that, just in a different way.
Except now with dubstep, yeah.
Yeah.
Hooray.
Definitely the smartest franchise out there. So, yeah, it's smart, it's intelligent, it's clever, it's based on actual as a narrative to tell. I'm not sure I was sold on that trailer. I don't think that trailer did a very good job of selling what they're doing. But, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, a good trailer, I think, was Assassin's Creed Origins. That was a pretty good trailer. Apart from them calling him an Egyptian sheriff.
The Egyptian sheriff.
Trying to work guns in there pretty much any way that you can. I think it looked really good. It's refreshing to not have, John Smith, the generic white protagonist with a floppy haircut. Head up one of these Assassin's Creed games, and I think having it set in Egypt and Africa and possibly also Rome is really interesting. But I think stylistically, though, the combat that we saw, I think it's kind of moving away from Assassin's Creed-esque combat and more into the territory of, I hate saying it because I love this game, but it definitely is very much more Witcher-like.
Yeah, it looks aggressively Witcher-esque, like the way he was moving and weaving. During that fight with the larger fellow, it looked like a Witcher fight. It looked like a fight, I guess, that you'd see against any sort of human character in The Witcher, which...
Yeah, exactly.
To be quite frankly honest with everyone as well, like, that's probably what the series needs, is because the combat in Assassin's Creed just kind of sucked.
Yeah,
and it sucked for a long time.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. Like, it was finicky, it was janky, but I think the problem with them adopting a very clear Witcher style is that if this game bombs, like you said, Alan, if this game bombs, well then people just go back to fucking playing Witcher and never touch the franchise ever again, because if they fuck this one up, that's it.
Yeah.
Oh, it will still be even bigger than that. Like, they'll still make money on it because it's Assassin's Creed.
Creed for the combat anyway. Obviously, people like the Assassin's Creed series weren't in it for that in the first place. So to improve it or to do something, to try something new, is something I think the fans of the series will accept. I'm sure we'll see a lot more about Assassin's Creed tomorrow at Ubisoft's. Imagine that'll be their big game for the year. So
yeah, it'll have to be.
But again, it kind of goes back to the point again, you know, that game is not going to be exclusive on Xbox. There might be, you know, one or two bits of DLC content or whatever that is exclusive to it. But it's not a reason to buy an Xbox.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, Twitch chat's just said it, and like, if you don't take risk with a video game, then it's not going to be any different. People aren't going to want to buy it anymore. So like, it's fair enough. It's ultimately like, it's potentially really good. It's just, you know, it's the Ubisoft game, but it's changing slightly. So I don't know. I'm personally not too keen on it. It looks like Assassin's Creed, but with a few tweaks. So if you like Assassin's Creed, you're going to like this probably.
Well, it's a great point in time in history. That's a great setting for a game.
Yeah, agreed.
The Roman conflict with Egypt is that's probably something that isn't explored too often in history books and stuff, that you kind of come across. You don't see it on TV that much, you don't see it in film much. You see whenever there's Egyptian stuff done, it's like the mummy or gods of Egypt or whatever, that kind of nonsense. So yeah, piece of history that's different and doing building Assassin's Creed a game around it is something I've wanted the series to get away from the Europeans and whatever for a while as well. I was kind of hoping that the next Assassin's Creed would be like Japan and Ninja, but which would be great, but Egypt's a good alternative. I can certainly accept the setting.
Yeah, it's good. And enough about Assassin's Creed, the real game of the show was Shadow of War, obviously, with its No, it was good. Like,
British orcs.
Is that a problem? Is that really a problem? I think it's swell.
I mean, Flog and Bruz were just my
husband. Yeah, Flog and Bruz were just truly the heroes we deserve.
Yeah, they're so charming. You know?
It hurt me a little bit to see Flog lose his head. You know, I was kind of rooting for him. He was the little guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So brave, so foolish.
It was classic Flog.
It was almost. I mean, after Ori, that would have been the moment that made me cry the most this show.
We were all waiting for this moment where Flog would just absolutely demolish Bruz. Heartbreaking.
But yeah, I mean, that game looked good. The previous one was actually quite interesting. It did some really interesting stuff with the open world genre. It gave us, you know, something which was actually quite new in the way that the Nemesis system worked. And for open world, big budget blockbuster games, that was quite eye opening. This one seems like it's doing even more, like the ability to, you know, they call it dominate.
You can dominate, take control.
Yeah. Yeah, you can also mount your enemies.
You can mount your enemies. It's like mount your friends, but with orcs.
you can dominate them and then take advantage of them. Exact wording, by the way. Exact wording from the trailer.
My issue with that is that surely someone thought about that and was like, maybe we shouldn't use this sort of language. And then they were like, no, let's do it anyway, because it's probably a thing on the internet anyway.
Yeah, well, to be fair, like, I think the Microsoft conference opened with, you know, how the Xbox is aggressive.
It's an aggressive console.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a real monster. I think that sort of language is kind of coherent. Mount your friends, only really dangerous.
Yes, perfect Twitch chat. You've done it.
Exactly, yeah, that's right.
You've done it.
It's a risky mount with your mates.
Oh, God, I don't...
Add these guys to your army, you know, build a force and whatnot, and take on these the fortresses and capture them. That's something different, and that could be really cool. I'm really hoping that turns out to be as good as. But yeah, again, once again, it's another Microsoft game that's not really going to be. So you don't have to buy an Xbox for that one.
Exactly.
I also want to talk about backwards compatibility really quickly.
Yes.
That's pretty good.
Great.
Like that should be there with every console, but it's just not, and that sucks. I don't think I have anything else to really say. I don't think anyone else has anything to really say about it either, other than it's bloody good.
Crimson Skies?
Crimson Skies, which is a really strange game to choose, because that game didn't do that well, if I remember correctly, but it was awesome, and I'm really happy that it's back.
Yeah, it's great. And yeah, it's like I like the little dig that they had in there to Sony. There was the comment about how since we've launched Xbox backward compatibility, like 50% of the Xbox players have played an Xbox, you know, one or two game, which is you know, Sony was out there a couple of weeks ago saying nobody wants to play backwards compatibility games, so why do we bother? So yeah, that was a nice, clever little dig by Microsoft, and I think that...
Well, it's totally justified as well.
I think they've got a better finger on the pulse in terms of what people actually want. They do want their consoles to have that ability. There's no reason that these consoles can't play these older games. So yeah, good on Microsoft for that. And yeah, it'll be good. There's certainly a number of Xbox games that I would love to give another go.
I don't remember many Xbox games which I really would want to go back to, though. Maybe Blink or something like that, or the original GTAs, but I don't think there's really many I don't want to experience which would actually be in the
service.
I can
name so many.
I just want Jet Set Radio. I just want Jet Set Radio. Like, Harvard said this during, like, the, like, discussion we were having while the show was going on, but Jet Set Radio should just be on every console. It should just be the Jet Set Radio console.
They can put the second one in as well.
Yeah. Just, I want to hear Concept of Love just on a, on high definition 4K. That'll make me understand the concept of love, obviously.
Or the early Dead or Alives, that would be great.
Matt. There are new Dead or Alives.
Dead or Alive Extreme 2, that'd be great. You know, go back to the classics.
Yeah, amen.
Right.
Because seriously, those earlier Dead or Alive games are actually stylistically very different to the recent ones. So, yeah, there is an actual reason you might want to go back and play those. So that'd be cool. Kingdoms Under Fire, we were talking about that before.
Yes.
Kingdoms Under Fire was a strategy, a kind of a mix between Dynasty Warriors and real-time strategy game. Mm-hmm. And I found that absolutely crazily addictive back on there. Given the dev seems to have fallen in all kinds of trouble since and hasn't produced one since the Xbox, it'd be good for that to be thrown up there so people can experience it. Because I did actually play it maybe about a year ago. I pulled out the old Xbox just to give it a go, and it still holds up. So,
but Matt, who would want to play that, though?
Yeah, I know.
Who wants to play that old trash when you can play new things in 4K, like the gunning and shooting?
Everything's in 4K now.
The guns are in 4K, Matt. You don't understand.
The bullets are in 4K.
Ooh, it's getting bigger.
I found it interesting that Call of Duty wasn't up there on the show at all.
That's because they've not partnered with Microsoft. They've gone with EA. Sony.
I watched the last couple of shows, you know, the last 2 or 3 years. It's been in a really bad time for Australians, so I haven't watched them. I didn't realise that the complete lack of Activision in that was a bit surprising.
Yeah, and also, I'm actually quite surprised there was no, like, this is Madden, or this is FIFA, or something like that. There was nothing like that, which was odd, because usually that's their jam.
Yeah, the developers usually like that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we had everything else that was interesting, I guess, but then there was no sports games, which for Microsoft is bizarre.
Technically, they had Forza, which you
know, that's not a sports game. That
isn't
I know,
but guys like that, right? They were like, you can feel the
But guys like it though.
Yeah, they were like, you can feel the grease on the tires, and I was like, I don't want that. I really don't want to feel any grease. Please don't.
Just like, this is what guys probably. We don't actually know what the Xbox demographic is.
Yeah.
Ultimately, Xbox had to change their image of what, you know, the product is. So it's really good to see that some way that they have done that during with this conference, where they have shown that, you know, branding-wise, they're moving to a completely different direction to what is being perceived as, especially with the original Xbox One's reveal, where it was basically TV, 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 TV.
You know, but you can also play a game on it, and it has a gun in it.
I've got to say, if that's Microsoft's idea of thinking outside the box, then they are still pressed up writing. Because
they're like smushing their face against it and like making that like fake angel thing
as close as humanly possible to the box. Because yeah, I mean, it might well be that Microsoft is looking demographic and all that, but it is still, there's certain types of content that Microsoft clearly likes, and it sticks to those types of content. Aside from the Guilty Gear, you know, and there wasn't much Japanese stuff.
Well, there was Code Vein.
Which was, you know, that's a good looking game. And there was one game from Korea, which was that MMO.
Black Desert Online, the MMO.
Yeah. So there was a couple of those things, but it's still very Western orientated content. And that includes, you know, the kind of the artsy games that Microsoft showed off through the thing.
They are very Microsoft arty games.
They're all very, you know, very safe for kind of Western audience first games. There wasn't, you know, stuff that kind of was really experimental or really out there. That doesn't mean they're bad games or anything. It just means that, you know, Microsoft doesn't really doesn't really see the world as anything but, you know, America first, and the world just likes what Americans.
They'll build a wall and call it the X Wall.
The X Wall.
Well, I mean, in Anthem, there is a huge wall. The whole plot of Anthem is that there's a big wall between people and the outside world.
Wall so. Maria.
That's what everyone on Twitch was saying. It was going to be Attack on Titan, Anthem on Titan, or something.
It was like more like Horizon Anthem Zero or something. I don't know. Horizon Anthem Destiny is what it is like, basically.
I do wish that Microsoft would make more games for younger people too. Like that one game that they showed off, which was the Fox.
Lucky.
Yeah.
With like Not Conquer.
Yeah.
Super Fox Tales.
Super Lucky's Tale was quite good.
It's so cute. I really liked it. I thought it was charming and bright and happy. And
to be honest, beautiful. That was far more interesting than anything else that they showed. It's like not meant for me at all.
Yeah.
It was
apparently that was on the Oculus Rift, was where that was in the Oculus Rift store, apparently.
Interesting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Maybe it's like a toy box sort of thing where you look down on it. Sorry, wait, are we talking about the same game?
the Fox Tales. The platformer.
Yeah. Oh, okay, so that's...
Someone tweeted that apparently it was from the Oculus Rift in the store, so... Yeah, like it's an existing game, apparently.
Wonderful.
That sounds like a real workout, trying to jump up and down and getting those coins.
Well, there's a side mention. There's not a lot of mention of VR or anything like that.
Yeah, that's because Microsoft really hasn't gone for VR, I don't think.
Are you talking about HoloLens? That was a huge investment by Microsoft. It is ongoing. It's a huge investment. And they finally have the console that can really handle the kind of processing that kind of...
It can be done in 4K.
And they don't. It was really interesting that Microsoft didn't at least mention...
Give it another year. They're going to wait until they see the PSVR dying out. Then they'll be like, welcome to true VR. I know, that's the thing. Like, it'll take some time, but it'll... They will eventually do it.
You just know that tomorrow Sony's going to put a lot of effort into showing off VR. And the thing is, with VR, that is an opportunity to do very different kind of gameplay experiences, as we've seen with some of the better examples that have come out already on VR. And again, that's going to show that Sony has this variety and this range that Microsoft talked about in the show. They talked about, you know, they've got this range of content. But when you boil it down, there's still a lot of zombies and guns and... guns and then one cute platformer with a fox. It doesn't really count as diversity. Sony's one, I would bet that Sony's one tomorrow will have what Microsoft actually meant.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine next year will definitely be the year for VR for Microsoft, but that said, they've got a huge push themselves in the PC realm. They've got, you know, they've got partners like Acer, you know, Lenovo. Basically any PC manufacturer is doing their connected sort of VR, you know, HoloLens sort of type technology making that for the PC. So I imagine at some point that would be incorporated to the Xbox ecosystem where they're like, here we've got all this stuff which is compatible with your PC. You can use it on your Xbox.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, and I was hoping to see some of that. I mean, this show was Microsoft's show. It wasn't just Xbox. They could have taken the opportunity to say, hey, look what we're doing in kind of PC development at the moment. We've got this technology called HoloLens, and we've been developing it for the last couple of years. And yeah, it's really, you know, innovative stuff. It's, you know, cordless AR kind of goggles and things like that. So yeah, I was expecting to see more about that stuff, Microsoft. But I guess
also Cuphead.
Cuphead, which Matt somehow forgot about.
Finally has a date, yay!
Yeah, I know, after years in development, it's finally got a date. September 26, 29? 28.
29.
Yeah, oh, okay, 29. Oh, it's wrong. Everything's awful. I'm cancelling this show. The show's over.
Yeah, Cuphead looks amazing. It looks like they've really captured the Disney aesthetic, the old Disney aesthetic.
What are the odds that it gets cancelled by Microsoft before it comes out?
Is it a Microsoft-funded game?
It's one of the like games to the Microsoft. It's their like system. I forget what it's called, but it's like EA Play, but for Microsoft. It's, yeah. It's being funded directly by them. Yeah.
It'll be exclusive to Microsoft. Oh,
okay. Yes. Yes, which is unfortunate because obviously I want to play it, but I'll just play it on PC because I have a PC. Yeah, so do you want to do sort of final thoughts and just go around the table that we don't have because we're not at a table, unfortunately?
So what, like the stuff that actually interests you,
yeah,
and what doesn't interest you, and yeah, I guess like a plus and minuses roundup.
Okay. Let's do that. Ginny, you were talking. You can go.
Oh. Okay. Great, thanks. Well, the stuff that I think looks good, I'm gonna say Dragon Ball FighterZ because Guilty Gear is A++. I'm also really interested in Code Vein, and Tacoma looks good. I will get Super Lucky's Tale because I have no self-respect and I love platformers like that.
Does it require you to have self-respect to play platformers?
Cuphead also great. Shadow of War is probably my top pick just because I love the tactical elements that are going to go into it, and I'm praying it's going to be good. And also Warhammer Dawn of War 3 was sad trombone noise. Thanks to chat for that. So I'm going to hope that this is better. Stuff that I am not going to be into, I'm going to straight up just go ahead and say it's going to be Anthem. I do not care about Destiny. I do not care about a BioWare project that has, at least appearance-wise from the outset, little to no story. I really don't care about Horizon Zero Mutants. I'm also not really into Deep Rock Galactic, which was marketed as Danger, Darkness, and Dwarves.
It's the new sweary game.
I mean, it looks like Astroneer on crack. I would probably rather just play Astroneer. I feel like we didn't need to have Astroneer with, you know, space shotguns and shit. State of Decay 2, I'm not really interested in either because, I mean, I've got all the Left 4 Deads. I don't really need another zombie game where my friend gets ripped apart mercilessly and nothing really happens apart from everyone dying occasionally every couple of rounds.
Everyone dying. You make it sound so flippant. Like everyone occasionally dying.
I guess the meh or the this could be good. Assassin's Creed Origins. I'm gonna hold up for a good story because I am gonna give this white bread franchise another chance, and we'll see how it goes. Yeah. All in all, I would say more positive tiles than negative, but the negative ones I really really don't like. So all in all, a very kind of average, very typical Microsoft conference for me. I wouldn't, but I'm not convinced by the Xbox One X, 2X, Weed Wizard 420 machine. I don't really want to buy it
because
I have a PC
day,
like most of us. So yeah, all in all, not very convinced. Everything that I liked, I will play on PC anyway. So yeah.
All right, Trent. Let's go to you. You're next on the line.
Well, I think the biggest thing for me, because I, you know, am Xbox first, you know, outside of, you know, I was late to get the PlayStation because you guys were insisting I should get one. I ended up getting one. But I think the biggest thing for me was I sold on the Xbox One X. And I think that yes and no is probably the answer. It's a very ambiguous, you know, $649, bit steep at the time. You know, I've got a Switch, I've got an Xbox already, I've got a PlayStation 4, I've got a gaming computer, like I've got everything. So it's sort of like I can play it on what I've already got. So maybe eventually I'll get it, but you know, it's sort of, it hasn't really sold me on exclusivity and, you know, availability of other software as something down the track. So hardware wise it looks great, you know, but not really going to buy it. Game wise, you know, things like Life is Strange, it's going to be great, I think. It's interesting that it's a Die Another developer now, not Don't Nod. It's Idle Minds is doing Life is Strange. So it'll be interesting to see another developer's take on what Life is Strange is. And, you know, I know it's not an Xbox exclusive title, but, you know, it was revealed during the thing. But other titles, there's a lot of indie stuff which was sort of pushed at the end of the stream, which was pretty good, pretty interesting, which, you know, for the most part, once again, not on Xbox, you know, exclusive, it's across the board. So there's a lot of stuff which I'm really excited for, but, you know, it's not necessarily on Xbox. And the stuff which is on Xbox, things like Forza, you know, yes, looks great, but, you know, I'm not going to get an Xbox One X for it. So at the end of the day, nothing really swayed me either way from the conference.
All right, so shall we go on to Harvard?
Yep, I just want to first give a shout-out to Artful Escape, which is this indie game about... It's like a platformer with a very heavy metal aesthetic, and it's got, like, just this great art style. And they're from an Australian developer. We actually saw them at PAX last year, and it's great to see them get picked up by Microsoft in this presentation. Also, Tacoma is always going to be good. Good developers, great music. We didn't see anything of it, but yeah. From the presentation itself, I just really like the Terry Crews intro to Crackdown.
Yeah,
to be honest.
Exactly. Yeah, it's hard not to like him.
Yeah, so if the actual game itself has that kind of humor and has that attitude, that can carry me through something which is otherwise quite generic, which is, I think, hopefully that'll be good.
Mm.
And also, Sea of Thieves was interesting.
Yeah.
It's because it's got a lot of different gameplay elements going for it. I think they had a hard time showcasing everything they had to offer in that single demo. And finding treasure, like being on a ship with your friends, firing yourself out of cannons, like somewhere there's something great in that.
Yeah. It's just, I hope that they don't spread it too thin. I really hope that they don't spread it too thin, because that's the worry with it, I feel. Because they're saying, look at what you can do. You can do this, you can do this, you can do this. But then you'll end up with a No Man's Sky situation where you don't want to do any of it because it's all just the same.
Yeah.
Definitely looks more polished than, you know, previous years have shown it.
Oh, yeah.
And that ocean looks really great. Like,
yeah.
I just want to dive in into it and, you know, don't worry about being a pirate. Just explore the ocean.
And just get eaten immediately. You'll be right. I'm going to go now so we can let Matt do his last little thing and sign off, but I really liked that show, to be quite honest. Like, I'm gonna be snarky about it because I am snarky, but like realistically it was a good show. It was what they needed to do. There were a lot of games there that I'm interested in, so that's wonderful. I mean, we've already talked about pretty much all the ones that I'm keen for, but I'm gonna talk about Forza as well because as a car person it looks good. It, you know, like the whole thing of it being 60 FPS 4K, like that's wonderful. For that sort of game, that's really good, and I really appreciate that they've done that, to be quite honest. We've already talked about the, you know, the Guilty Gear Dragon Ball game, which is what a Dragon Ball game should have always been, to be quite honest. And, you know, as for everything else, it was generally pretty good. I mean, we've already also talked about how generic and nothing the new BioWare game looks, because it just looks like everything else that's come before it. It's just Borderlands, but with Destiny, and then also some, like, other stuff that I don't care about and don't think I'll ever care about. But yeah, like, it's alright. It's alright. Everything's fine. Microsoft will do alright. It's all good. Positivity.
Yeah. Yeah.
And here we go with Matt. Everything's shit.
Not enough Miku. That's basically my biggest problem with the show. No, it was still, it was good. I guess I've already said a couple of times in the pod Microsoft had a lot of good games coming out, but a lot of those games I can just play. So in terms of the great question is, as somebody who doesn't already have an Xbox, do I now need to go and buy one? The answer is pretty resounding no. I don't. Other than that, the show was good. There's plenty of games to look forward to. You know, it has the one first person shooter blockbuster that I care about, which is Metro. And there's a lot of those kind of smaller indie games that I will look forward to playing on another console or alternatively on PC at some stage. So
yeah,
that's my summary of the show. B minus.
B minus. It's like an H3.
Yeah. It passed.
It did. It definitely did. I think that pretty much wraps it up for us, I'd say.
So, everybody who listened in, and we will definitely have more to talk about tomorrow, following the Ubisoft and then Sony shows.
Bright and early, 5 a.m. is the start of the show. If you're in Australia like me and Matt and some other people,
if you're in New Zealand, it's 7 a.m.
Hooray! So. It's the one time that New Zealand wins over Australia.
Oh come on! Hey, we gave you Path of Exile, okay?
And
yeah, we gave you parts of Excel and great mobile games. Don't forget.
This is how it gets defensive.
And Lord of the Rings. Okay, we gave you Lord of the Rings.
That was Britain. That wasn't you.
Peter Jackson was us.
Yeah, but and the Twitch stream is over.